gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast.
From the moment I wake up until I put on my makeup. That's for you, little shorty. What's her name again, baby girl? She don't even listen to our podcast. Your niece.
Oh, for Palmer. Yes.
Palmer.
Yes, I have to shout go ahead out and hear Palmer. That part.
That was for you. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You want to sing her other favorite song? We don't talk about Bruno. Go ahead.
We don't talk about Bruno, no, no. We don't talk about Bruno. Encanto.
Oh, man.
One of my faves.
We're going to get to Encanto here in a second, but...
Oh, Encanto or whatever it is.
We have... let's do this. We have some milestones I need to throw out there that happened over the weekend and today. Over the weekend, we had the 30th anniversary of Christian Leitner's shot against Kentucky.
Don't about, we don't want to talk about that.
The reason that's big,
I don't even like Duke like that.
Listen, because I don't either, but the reason that's big for me, because that's the first game that I, as a child, was able to stay up all night and watch.
That's hilarious.
And that's my memories flooding back of me sitting there eating strawberries and sugar. And
oh, great. I need to talk to your parents.
So yeah, that's the memories I have from that game, being the very first one. I watched all the way through into the evening, got to stay up late, you know, feeling big about myself.
All I remember about that game was everybody saying, they didn't have anybody on the ball, right, or something like that. So they gave the guy the clear line to throw. It was like, that was the one of the complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was, how did all four of y'all let the ball sail in the air that far and just let him catch it?
Somebody
so anyway, that's about
down.
All I remember about that.
Yes.
Like those questions coming up after the fact.
I mean, and then this kind of bleeds into my second milestone I'd like to throw out there. Yesterday, March 27th, was the 30th anniversary. Was it 30th or 30th? Look at me. Let me be sure if I'm wrong. Yeah, 30 years ago yesterday was the opening night of White Men Can't Jump in theaters. So,
shout out to Wesley Snipes and
Woody.
What's the white guy? Woody. That was a good movie. Oh, and I can't live out the lady that was trying to get on Jeopardy with the Hispanic.
Rosie Perez. Yes.
Rosie Perez was excellent in that.
Foods that start with the letter Q.
Craziness.
Yeah. So that, but the most important milestone today, March 28th, is the 7th anniversary of the very first episode of the Mac and T Show.
Oh Lord, that's 11. Seven is a good number. And on the seventh day,
yes,
he rested from all of his labor.
7th anniversary, and you'll enjoy this. It is episode 144.
Yes,
look at
beautiful.
Look at God.
Look at God. Won't he do it?
Won't he?
Everybody be like, well, what did he do?
Well, I know who did something last night.
Jesus. Brian, you remember thank you. Why were we running around doing thank you in that high pitched voice? What was that about? I can't even remember it.
Mr. Brown.
Okay. Oh Lord. Okay. That's why I praise him. That's why I praise him.
So last night, I know for a fact my co-host was asleep.
I went three sheets to the wind because I wasn't drunk, but I was three sheets to the wind because I was unconscious sleep.
I'm enjoying a very good Texas and Stanford women's basketball game in the Elite Eight. I'm into the game. There's a timeout is called, and during timeout, I do like everybody else in the country now. and I go to Twitter. Twitter is ablaze of Will Smith trending, Chris Rock trending. I go, I see what is going on. And, you know, because it occurred to me that the Academy Awards was on last night, but I had no intention of watching it. I had to record it so I could go back and watch if I needed to. But I just, whatever happens at the award. You know, when you have an Academy Awards on the same night as some big time basketball games, basketball's always going out with me. But anyway, so I see that they're trending, and I see what's going on. I start seeing videos pop up, and I start seeing what happened, and I went, oh my God. Now, I start searching now, because at first, all you saw was video clips of the American version. In an American version of what happened, all the cussing and the foul language and the back and forth was cut out. And you could read their lips, but you couldn't hear what they were saying. And so I started just researching and I find the overseas version of the slap. And when I tell you, I was as stunned as people in the audience. I didn't know how to react. I said, is this real? Is this fake? What's going on? And I sent the version that didn't have Chris Rock's actual joke in it to my partner in crime here. But when I told her about the actual joke, Chris Rock is one of those comedians. People know that. He goes after everybody. It is what it is. All I can say about the whole situation is how big of a celebrity must you be that you can walk on stage at something like the Academy Awards, slap the taste out of somebody's mouth, walk back off stage, cuss
like you
them,
ain't did nothing but shook his hand,
cuss them from your seat, and not nobody tell you stop, calm down, nothing.
Everybody was shocked,
and nobody knew how to react. So what was your reaction?
So here's the thing. Again, somebody does put the whole thing. ABC on YouTube is up, and he says, Jada, nice to see you or something. Can't wait to see Jane 2 or something come out. Because we know the white lady, what was her name?
Demi
had cut all her hair off for that role. And so the interesting thing is Will is laughing. He's laughing. And then Jada is not pleased in no shape, form, or fashion. She's like, oh, why? Like, it's kind of like, oh, why did you, like, she kind of looks up, like I'm looking at it in slow motion, and she kind of crosses her hands because she kind of smiled at first when he was like, I love you, Jada, I love you. And then it's like, oh, that was a nice one. So that's another reason that leads me to believe that there has been a conversation about, like, don't talk about my wife.
Well, I think he was kind of reacting to the way the crowd, because the crowd kind of was like, oh. And that's when the camera goes back to Chris, and you hear him say, oh, come on, that was a nice one, basically, you know. And like I was telling you off air, I wonder if some of the animosity had come from when Chris Rock hosted a couple years back when the Oscars So White movement was going on. And, you know, Jada was kind of at the forefront of that. And I wish I could remember the movie that Will was in that he didn't win. He didn't even get nominated for. And that's why.
I don't think it had. I think. This is confusing.
I just want to see. I wanted some of that had kind of played a role in this.
Because I don't know.
He was.
I don't think he's. When this happened, I don't think he's like, oh, yeah, you said something about her back then. Again, I think that these conversations have been having. Because, you know, they run in different circles.
Mm-hmm.
And now what's odd to me is that he was laughing. But I do know, like, he kind of laughs to it's a protection mechanism, if you want to say. I haven't read his book yet. I'm not even calling it a defense, because I don't think that's what it, I think, you know, if he uncomfortable or something,
right,
it's kind of like laugh it off. Because when he was putting out his book and did those miniseries on YouTube, I think I watched all of them. And he talks about it. Speaking of which, let me write down, because I need to get his book. I meant to get that a long time ago. There's an order coming. Ha ha. He talked about him using laughter like as a protection mechanism. Maybe it was the word was that I'm looking for. Even when he was like young and couldn't protect his mom, because apparently the father was abusive and all this. So I suspect that the first laugh was just my regular response when I'm not comfortable. And I wish the camera, there's too many cameras in the building for us not to be able to stay on him, because Jada clearly was not comfortable with the joke.
Uh-huh.
But like I told you, I didn't know she had alopecia.
Right.
Shout out Larry. He told me that this morning. And I was just like, okay, well, that's a whole different animal. Like, Brown's talking about this off air, but not all black women, but many of us, and I'm gonna go out on a limb and say a majority of us love our hair. And for you to lose it and have no control, it's one thing, you know, you bleached it and it fell out, okay, it's gonna grow back, but you have no control of it growing back. And she must have, because some people have alopecia where it's a young lady that's you know, Kev on Stage, the YouTuber, shout out Kev on Stage. His co-star on one of his little shows, Angel. She called herself That Chick Angel. She had it. And she said she started balling in the top, but she didn't get it where all her hair fell out. And so she was able to go to a dermatologist or whatever. They gave her some meds and it slowly grew back. But even on her page, and I don't follow her, and I follow Kevin. I used to anyway. I don't really watch a lot of his stuff anymore either, because now he has an app. But I'm getting off topic. Anyway, it's uncomfortable. It's hard. When something like that happens, and I suspect that'll be for white women as well, but I know I can speak from just being a black woman, being around black women, knowing that that's a hard one when your hair falling out. Oh. And you just like, well, I can't do it. So I don't know if anyone remembers when Representative Iyanna Pressley came out and showed like her bald head and expressed like she had been wearing wigs and all, and it was for privacy, but then she just got tired of it and just came out in a ball, and she was bald like a baby. Jada looked like she got little hair. She like straight looked like no hair. Hers. So, you know, you making these jokes, like, just make jokes that are not directly at people, you know. Then you come out a little better. That was one of the things I never really cared for D.L. Hughley, because his thing seemed to be to find people in the crowd to joke about. And I'm like, yeah, they laugh and they don't have a choice.
Uh-huh.
But I'm sure nobody likes to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah, I always go back to the Nutty Professor when Dave Chappelle plays that character where he's, you know, going around the crowd and making fun of people, and he makes fun of Sherman. You know, and I always think to myself, you know, how uncomfortable that could be in a situation. That's why, you know, people are probably shy to go to comedy clubs and things like that. They might like comedy offset, but might be shy to go to things like that because you don't want to be in the middle of some comedian's, you know, just roast session where you constantly getting picked out. And yeah, it's, I don't know.
And then after, he kept saying, keep my wife's F word name out of your mouth. And he was hot. So that's why I think that the laughing that he was doing was just his protection or whatever mechanism. I'm sure it's some kind of psychological name for it. Because I was like, he is laughing. But then it was just like, yeah, he is hot.
He was
unless he got dissociative identity disorder and another person came out. That is not funny because I don't want to laugh about people that have.
I'm glad you said that. Not the whole, you know, disorder, but as far as him being another person, this is what kind of threw me off. And this is where humans, they were like roasting Will last night, acting like, you know, oh, he can't do stuff like that. He's nice, you know. You don't know these people. They are celebrities. They're in the movies. They're on your TV shows. But you don't know these people. So you don't know who they, what kind of actual person they are. But at the end of the day, anybody could get set off by something like that. And, you know, you don't know how you react in the moment. That's why they call it in the moment. And but the funniest one I saw was when somebody wrote on there, got it, one little fight, and his mom got scared.
You moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air?
That was clever. I'll give that's kudos to that person. But
well, this one cute that I just saw, Will. That is funny, Jada. That is not funny, Will. That is not funny. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't know Will. He one of my favorite actors. I feel like I told you. You know who my other one for the women.
Jennifer Lewis.
I can't believe you let that fall out of your mouth, Regina King. How did you get to Jennifer Lewis?
You know what?
Even if you had said...
I would say, this is why I was looking at some pictures, and Jennifer Lewis is in one of the pictures.
In the world?
I should have... Look, Regina King should have been the first thing that came out of my
Even
mouth.
If you said Loretta Devine, I would have gave you a pass.
You know what? I should have said Regina King. That's on me.
So disappointed.
But other than... And Will, you know, the only way that situation could have been rectified in the moment was for him to win Best Actor. And there you go.
Yeah, he won
Best Actor for King Richard. So that was good till he got up there and got to give his speech and bawled his eyes out.
One thing he didn't do was apologize. I'm glad he didn't apologize because he meant that slap. And Chris,
right.
Chris,
I mean,
lucky that he had that
Academy.
That tailor-made suit on, because you know you can see it was an awkward slap because his arms, you know, when they cut them suits a certain way, you can't lift your arm but so high,
right?
And so his arm couldn't get that full he couldn't get his full flexion, because if he had been able to draw back, like that video I sent you, did I send you that video of that man hitting that white man?
Yes,
that would have been bad on so many levels.
Yeah, I mean, he apologized to the Academy or whatever, but he didn't apologize for the slap.
He apologized to his peers and the people at the Academy, but he was like, no, I meant that slap. Thank you for saying it with your chest, William. Say it with your chest. Own it. Y'all stop talking about this man's wife.
A couple of other notable winners from last night. The Queen of Basketball, the documentary on Lucy Harris. Won the Oscar for documentary short subject. So shout out to her and
shout out to her family. She's an ancestor, yeah. Brian. That's cool. Some deaf guy won. Was the second Oscar ever or the first?
I don't know if it was first or second. I don't know.
Either way,
that was cool.
I'm gonna just say this, and this is not to be offensive to LGBTQIA or whatever. Actually, I mean, I don't think you would take it as being offensive. So the Afro-Latina, I think, woman that sang, that did, what's the, it's a stage play. Anyway, they was like, oh, she the first, and maybe they said the first openly gay. I was like, because y'all don't know how many people have been LGBTQ, but they ain't let you know it.
Right.
They have won these awards. But just say that she won it. She was the first Afro-Latina. And just stop assuming that LGBTQ just started. It's been around for a while, as far as I know. Well, some of these letters may not have been, but lesbian and homosexual men, same gender loving people. I guess they could have had transgender back then. I don't know. I ain't never really heard of transgender till more recently. Like, you know, having surgeries to change.
Right.
But that could have been happening because, you know, I ain't out there in these streets like that.
Yeah. And the only other award that was notable to me was the best animated film, and that went to Encanto.
We don't talk about Bruno, no, no.
I think I've watched that with my nieces at least 158 times.
Plus, from the moment I wake up, sing too.
Yes, yes, Lord.
I was just like, why is that song in my spirit? It ain't like I just watched it. I watched it last week, but that was the first time. I enjoyed it too. I think I'm gonna watch it again.
Well, transitioning over to the to our tournament updates on the men's side, for people blue. Who are keeping up, we are 0-4 on our final four picks.
Yes, over all blue.
But I'm still excited about the final four because we got Villanova in Kansas and then Duke in North Carolina for the very first time in NCAA tournament history.
That was
Duke
surprising.
North Carolina will face each other. Yes, it was. And it happens to be on Coach K's last ride, which makes me so excited because one more time.
Right. North Carolina will be like, let's ruin it for him.
Come on. Come on, Coach K. Sit down. Sit down somewhere.
How many have he won?
How many national championships?
Yeah.
Let me look.
Is it about 4 or 5?
This is just bad pod because my internet is so slow.
Coach K has... Oh, well, what ain't got his championships? That's dumb.
5. He is 1-5.
It's 5, okay.
91, 92, 2001, 2000.
Dog, it's hard to win because he's been coaching forever.
In 2015 is his last one.
So 13 Final Fours, 15 ACC Tournament Champion, 13 ACC Regular Season Champions.
Lord have mercy. I did not know he had 9 National Players of the Year. I don't know why that's surprising, but 6 gold medals. Lord. Shout out to Coach K.
You should be retired, but whatever.
The only close game in the men's side this weekend was the Villanova Houston game, which I was holding out hope that Houston could pull an upset, but
Now they talked about some kid having a torn ACL. Was that a good player for Villanova or what?
He's one of their role players. He plays. Oh, we're done about it, Kill.
It's gonna be a bunch of blue in the building every night.
All 14 got a little blue in them, so it'll be interesting.
A lot of blue, Brian. Kansas. I'm sorry, but North Carolina blue, Duke blue, Villanova blue. The Kansas, I don't think I ever seen them in nothing unless they got on blue or white. They may, this little bird, that, you know, it's got the red head, but it's going to be a shout out, a wave to the blue bloods. I don't know if Villanova consider a blue blood or not.
Well, as horrible as our picks on the men's side were, on the women's side, we were 4-4. I say that loosely. We still got 2 more games tonight that, you know, that something could get fouled up. But we're 2-2 so far on our final four picks.
Well, who could mess us up over there?
UConn could beat NC State. And Louisville, I don't see them losing to Michigan, but Michigan is playing well right now. Okay. So it could, you know. But Louisville is playing very well.
So we want NC State and Louisville to win.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
I don't like Geno, so I don't never want him to win. Go ahead.
I don't want him to
win. I don't know Geno, but I don't like him.
I'm not a fan of his, but
You want to know when I started not liking him? If you care to know.
Go for
it. I don't know what year it was, but the SEC had two or three people in the Final Four. And it was, I think it was them and then UConn. And he was being so disrespectful. Oh, the SEC ain't that good. Oh, whatever, whatever. And I was like, bruh, like, you don't just get teams to the Final Four on a whim. You just being so disrespectful. And I don't even think he had won a championship yet. And I was like, I can't with him. So then the more I saw of him on the sideline, the more that feeling got ingrained in my jealous.
Yeah, I've had too many negative encounters with him too.
That's so sad. That's so sad. Because you usually have good encounters with people.
Right. And I mean,
that's so sad.
He has no reason to be friendly to me, and that's fine. But
none of the coaches do, but you rarely meet a hot mean coach.
Right. Because even if they don't care about you, they have that recruiting mentality in them that just turns
on. Put that
on.
Fake smile on and, yeah, and be cordial.
Anyway, South Carolina beat the brakes off.
What did he do? Ignored your brain.
Huh? You want me to tell the story?
Yeah, we want to know. The people want to know.
Okay, one story. Two stories. Well, okay. The first one, and this is at the height of the Houston Comets making their, I think it was the second championship, mm-hmm. 1998. Mm-hmm. Him and Robin Roberts were doing TV for ESPN.
Okay.
And me and my family, we knew Robin because Robin is from our hometown. And mm-hmm. So we go running over there to talk to her. Well, Gino had this, he was doing everything he could to like maneuver himself.
Avoid high contact.
Right. Like, we were coming over to see him. And so that put a bad taste in my mouth because in 1998, he had just won his first championship in 95. So.
You ain't even that dude.
Right, I mean,
come on, bro.
I mean, I knew who he was, but I wasn't coming over there.
No, man, but you ain't the man. Like, he might think he's more of a man now. He don't want about five of them. But go ahead.
And then fast forward years later, we're in San Antonio for the Final Four, and I go to Deb Antonelli and Beth Mowins used to host this party after they had a podcast at the time, mm-hmm. and they would do a live episode. And, you know, they would host a party afterwards that was called Over the Newspaper Party, where you step over the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Basically saying you step over the newspaper on your way out kind of party. Mm-hmm. You know, you there all night. So I went to that party because, you know, I was, me and Debbie was cool back in the day. You know, and we've always been cool, but we was good back then. And Gino was in the room, and he was just so obnoxious. Like, just
right.
The way he, and I think he was drunk.
Being himself.
But he was just so obnoxious and just rude and just, it's just in moments where you have those bad tastes in your mouth when people act a certain way. And that's just two times where it just wasn't really for me. So I've not really been a fan of his because of those two encounters.
Way to go, Gino. I bet you was felt some embarrassed when y'all walked over there to talk to somebody else, because ain't nobody like him like that. Probably UConn fans, but I don't think
he had no intention of even acknowledging him, which is exactly. The bad part about it. But the way he like just turned his body and everything, like, oh God, don't notice me.
And I'm sure what's her name was real nice and sweet, because she seemed like that anyway.
Yes,
Robin.
Especially like, you know, when she finds out where. Lord have mercy, when she finds out what Connie Winstead's kids, she throws a fit. She goes nuts because she just loves.
Now, where did she play?
She played basketball.
I said where, Brian? I know that.
Oh, where? She played it in my hometown. She was like 4 years younger than my mother, so she would have been a ninth grader when my mom was a senior.
I don't care about high school. What college did she play?
I'm getting there. Let me get there. Southeastern Louisiana for college.
Oh.
CELA. Yes. Went to CELA.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I didn't know that. Obviously I didn't, because I would have asked you, but yeah, I had no idea where she played. I just knew she played.
Yeah. So that, you know, but yeah, every time I've encountered Robin, it's always been a good experience because she just is one of those people, just nice. But yeah, yesterday.
I'm just going back just for a second. Okay. Will Smith seemed like he that kind of guy. And you can say I don't know him, but I watch his, like, everything he put on. Obviously, you're not putting bad stuff on YouTube, but he okay with crying. He just seemed like he a fun-loving dude. And so I was really shocked when he just went up there and punched him. But go ahead. He didn't punch him. Slapped him.
I mean, to talk about Will for a second, there's a story out there when they were filming, I think, Bad Boys 2. And they were on set at this house that they had rented. I think it was the house they filmed the scene with Reggie in. Mm-hmm. When Reggie was coming over to take the daughter out for a date.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So.
Boy, you like you 30. Go ahead.
The house was obviously somebody's house. They had, you know, rented.
Commandeered for the movie.
Exactly. And the people that owned the house were able to, you know, stay on set and, you know, be around set and things like that. And there's a story from one of the kids. I think it was the daddy of the situation. He tells a story about how, you know, his son was a big Will Smith fan. They tried to go over and speak to him, and Will was like just kind of in his own world and not acknowledging the kid at all. And mm-hmm. Martin and Will finally walks off and goes to his trailer, and, you know, basically not want to be bothered the way he acted. Mm-hmm. And Martin Lawrence comes over and you know, kind of talks to the kids. Hey, sorry about that. You know, Will just. He's just in the moment. And it could have been a situation where he was getting ready for his scene. And, you know, he's on the job. He's on the clock. So there's a way you could look at that. But I think a lot of people took that as a negative vibe for him back when that story came out. And this was years ago. But I think could have been a very situation where he was just in the moment. And he could be one of those actors that's.
He may not even saw that kid. I don't know. I do know who is a really nice guy.
Shaquille
O'Neal.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yeah.
Like it's words on the street of him being in just restaurants, people coming up, yeah, talking to him, taking pictures with him. He is just that fun loving guy that don't think he bigger than life. And he don't necessarily need security, but
I think that in Shaq's situation, he's so big and obviously, you know, you see Shaq, and it ain't gonna be a situation. Shaq, that's you? You know that's Shaq. It just is what it is. And I think, you know, he has no choice but to be, because anytime he steps out,
he could be standoffish.
Okay, good.
You know, all they got to do is tell their security people to keep people back. But and a lot of times, like even Larry, shout out Larry again, he was saying that he was in Gainesville and somebody, I don't know what restaurant or the little place, Subway, somewhere, that would be hilarious. But he was there to grab, and then people started coming up and he just was talking to them and taking pictures with them and just kind of hung around. He didn't like, oh, let me get out of here. Because, you know, you know, one person see you, then somebody going to call somebody else and be like, Shaq down here at the whole note, whatever it is. Mm. And so, yeah, he that guy. And I appreciate that, because he could be like, man, I don't want nothing to do with y'all little people.
Exactly.
And literally little people.
And there's a lot of famous folks that are like that. That's why you don't ever see them out, because they're like recluses. They're at home and they don't get out and about unless, you know, it's for their movie premieres or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah. What was we talking about? Oh,
we back on the Final Four for the women. Got two games tonight.
Yeah, so we got two games left for the night. We got NC State and UConn kicking it off at 7 Eastern, and then Louisville and Michigan after that. So it'll be
so who South Carolina play out of the window? Or are they already playing Stanford? Is that who?
Let me see what the bracket is. I think it is. Let's see how the bracket shakes out.
Or did we have Stanford and South Carolina playing for it all? Or no? I might be making it up.
We had South Carolina and NC State. So South Carolina will play the winner of Louisville and Michigan.
Okay.
And Stanford will play the winner of NC State and Connecticut.
Okay.
In Minneapolis, the Twin Cities.
How many times, what's Stanford coach name?
Tara Vanderveer.
Tara Vanderveer. Okay, Tara, how many times you don't won this thing, coaching?
She won last year, and I think she won in 91 and 92.
She has three titles.
90 and 92. And yeah, yeah. 90, 92,
21.
Can you tell me who was the who was her star back in those early 90s? Who was her star guard?
For Stanford.
For Stanford. Do you know the name?
I don't.
Jennifer Azey.
Shut up. I remember that name.
Yes.
And what's she doing now?
I believe she coaching. Look.
You know what? I think that's why I knew that name. Hold on. Let me look at
because, that. You know, she is AZ Fudd on UConn is named after her.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, so there's that. What is she doing now?
But AZ was her last name. Somebody just decided to take the lady's last name. And let's see. Jennifer, what are you doing?
Oh, she went to Las Vegas Aces.
Okay.
She is a chief business development officer.
All right. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew she was 5'8". That's what they got her listed as. She was that little?
She seemed bigger than that when I was, because I've seen her in person.
I'm ashamed. I should have known her because I shouldn't have known this, but because I don't know a lot about Oak Ridge, but she's from Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Who knew?
Oh no, she went a long ways from home.
She sure did.
I mean, she got so far away from Oak Ridge.
She went all the way to California. My, my.
Woo, that's hilarious. She was like, I ain't here for this.
You had some thoughts on child support that you
want. Okay, I want anybody that's taking notes that's got some kind of power, please do this for me. So, because I am, and I'm so sad that it doesn't come on anymore. Paternity Court. Have you ever watched Paternity Court?
I have, yes.
So I'm a big fan of Paternity Court. It doesn't come on anymore, but I still watch the old ones because sometimes I forget who if you're the baby dad or not. So for years, I have been saying, shout out mama, she know this. When the baby is born, there should be a DNA test. Oh, what that DNA test called? Just lump that cost into all the other costs that come with the pregnancy.
Just put it on the look. Just put it on the docket.
Yes, because there's too many kids be out here. They don't know who the daddy is, or the wrong man. They don't put his name on the birth certificate, or the woman lied to him and said it was his, but it wasn't, or he just thought it was his and just signed it anyway. But then he'll say he had his doubts, or the kid ain't even got nobody on the birth certificate. Like, so that brings me to House Bill 2698.
Oh my.
So that is a, I think he was a senator in the state of Tennessee that is putting forth a bill, obviously a House bill, to, well, that means he's a House representative. I don't know why I said senator. Anyway, to have DNA tests be require them for unmarried men before they sign the birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
before it's illegal. So they can sign it, but they have to get the DNA test for it to be official. Like, you sign it, but you don't get the DNA test, it's not official. Because his logic, I don't agree with this line of thinking. It's not wrong, but he's saying 33% of men are losing their rights to their child. I'm saying 33% of men are being forced to take care of somebody else's child. Either way, it's not good business, because he's saying 1 in 3 men will sign it or whatever, and then it don't be their child. But once you sign the paper, you got, I know in Tennessee, I think he said you got 60 days, and if you be like, nah, this ain't it, you can go back up there and change your mind. And I didn't, the reason I wanted to talk about this, because I don't think people know this. I didn't know that there was an incentive from the state to get people to voluntarily sign the child support. So if you get, well, at least in the state of Tennessee, and I think this is a federal mandate, so I think it might be across the board. Uh-huh. If you can get 90% acknowledgement of birth, the state gets millions of dollars. If you go over the 90% acknowledgement of birth, like get 90% of men to sign up, you get a bonus. Then there is a $50 million.
$50 million. I'm sorry.
For having an option for child support. And then there's a 40% match for every child support order. So it's money being made by just saying, hey, sign this birth certificate. They don't even have to care that you ain't the baby, that she lied on you. Because, okay, say you say, well, it ain't mine, I'm not signing it. But she put your name on whatever when they go down to file for assistance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then they call you a court and all this, that, and the other. And, but once they get that child support order in, it is matched. There is a match for that, for 40% match for all the child support orders. So if you wind up paying, for those in the back, so your child support, it usually ain't this high, but if it's $1,000, then they gonna get $400. Uh-huh. It's an incentive for them not to get this right. Because if they get it right, these child support orders, like, well, they still could get a percentage of the child support order, but it won't be so many men out here going to jail for not paying and being in the rears. And it'd be so many stories on the paternity court, and I've been watching it for several years now. I didn't even know the child was 5 or 6 or 7. I didn't even know that, you know, that she had a baby, or I don't even see 30-year-olds in that brand. Talking about they trying to find out who their dad is.
Oh no.
Sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 men. One lady, this don't happen more than once. She was like, because the judge always asked them, like, are you sure there's nobody else? Yeah, no, it's nobody else. John Doe, you are not the father. Okay, so then everybody thinking Brian the father. Brian McKay, you are not the father. And then it's like, Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Well, I don't think, I don't know. Well, you need to think and talk to some of your friends, because clearly these two people are not. And that's happened more than once. And yeah, I was like, this can be nipped in the bud by, hey, when you come, even if it's last minute, you within 10 days or whatever, but it'd be best if you bring them right on up. That baby, you need to get him to come up here and get swabbed for this DNA test, whoever you think the father is. Because some of these women know that these men could possibly be not. Some of them know it's not, but some of them be done slept with a couple of people in the same window of conception. Oh. And then they just guessing. Shout out to Maury. I really wanted him to be the father, but then it'd be the other guy.
Shout out to Maury.
Maury gone off. He not been, how many seasons? He been canceled. Mm-hmm. But Maury didn't seem like he was doing that on Warren was doing it for entertainment purposes, it seemed like, and to make money off of people's misery. Or foolishness, I should say. Not necessarily their misery.
The foolery is definitely
the better. She really, because the judge, what is her name? She get emotional when the good stories happen, and she put the parents in placement, like, y'all, you know, both of y'all talking about you, but look at this child standing here, like, listening to you argue, and they just trying to find out who their father is, and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that.
Lauren Lake.
Lauren Lake.
Yes.
Yeah, so I wish she could bring it back. I can understand why, you know, during the heart of the pandemic, it might have stopped, but yeah, they need to just go ahead and make this a requirement. And before you start charging people child support, and they'll say, well, you know, and people out here listening might be like, well, they send you the thing telling you to come down to the court because they'll do the DNA test. But a lot of time, Brian, you know how many people sleep with people and don't even know their last name?
Oh, yeah.
So you think they know their accurate address?
Yeah, right.
So you send it to the wrong address. He never gets it. 10 years later, he get his check garnished and be like, what? Wait, what? Yeah, you missed a court date, so we just said that you the baby's parent.
You the daddy.
Don't nobody care.
Oh,
and I think it should be able to be reversed if you, a lot of times it's hard to get it reversed if you come in there and be like, I have DNA evidence, this is not my child. Take me off. Nope, you signed and you are the legal father. So I would advise every man, do not sign that paper if you have any doubt. Matter of fact, just get a DNA anyway, because then we don't leave any doubt. And women, don't be tripping if he's like, am I the father? Just be like, let's get a DNA test. Because I ain't got time to go back and forth with you about this. And then later on, after they come and you already knew it was his, then give him the business and make him pay for it later on down the road. But him running around with doubts, that don't never work out well. For the kid, anyway.
No, that's the party of all this that gets the shaft and gets the emotional damage. And, you know, that's the one that has to deal with all the psychological issues that come from this.
Oh, my everybody's daddy. And then some of them, I'd be like, now everybody daddy ain't showing up, because there's a lot of daddies that ain't participating in these children lives. They might even be kind of around, but they ain't participating like that. But quite often you'll hear, oh, everybody else's dad will come around. And, you know, I ain't have one and I felt some kind of way. And I'd be like, well, that's sad, but stop saying everybody, because black, white, red, yellow, brown, some men is to be like, no, I'm not going to that. I give your mom a check. No, I'm not coming to that recital. No, I'm not. I got to work. I'm not coming to whatever. But yeah, that was the thing. I didn't have any idea that the government had a financial incentive for.
Now it makes a lot more sense. And the whole sad situation makes a lot more sense now. Now that we know.
Brian, if we could think of this, why can't they? They don't want to. It's easy to be like, hey, baby born, swab little baby mouth, swab. I don't know why they swab the mama mouth, because it ain't going to, if it ain't his, it don't matter about swabbing hers.
Yeah, because it just came out of her. So, I mean.
Right. We know it's hers. Unless she stole it from the nursery, but. Yeah, I was like, just go ahead and swab as soon as the baby there, pop it on the butt, swab his mouth when it cry. Daddy should be already got his little thing done, and we're going to get y'all back to y'all in 7 to 10 days. I don't know how long it takes to do a DNA test. Seems like 7 to 10 days is always a good number for everything. Oh, y'all done messed up my credit card account, but we'll get you your money back in 7 to 10 days.
Right.
You're like, but you took my money in one day and I need it now.
You took my money in 7 seconds, but you can't give
right.
me.
Right. You talking about 7 to 10 days.
Whew. Well, that was a full show there.
Yes.
Well,
Will Smith, we appreciate you giving us some. Let's give them something to talk about.
Yeah, shout out and listen. I told T off air. I don't know that I said it on air yet, but I thought that Wanda Sykes, Regina Hall, and Amy Schumer did a very good job of hosting. They were, you know, they were funny all the way throughout. It was some, you know, good skits being had and everything. When Wanda came out there dressed like Richard Williams in that red sweater and that short white
shirt, I'm gonna have to go look that up.
I lost it. And they were supposed to all dress, and she was gonna dress as Richard Williams, and the joke was Regina and Amy were supposed to dress as Serena and Venus. Well, Amy come out there, Regina come out dressed as Tammy Faye from the Tammy Faye Walker that they did on her. So so she come out there dressed as her, and then Amy comes gets teleported down and she's dressed as Spider-Man.
Oh, great.
And Wanda just throws a fit. Oh man, that was funny. That was a good bit.
Well, I thought I didn't see this, but I saw the replay of it. I thought, and it was funny. They got three women because it's something about this, the same pay rate that they would for one man.
Oh, I think it was Regina Amy that said that, we've got three women to host because it's cheaper than one man.
It's
cheaper than one man.
I was like, good one.
That was hilarious. But yeah, but other than that, like, honestly, I was not intending on watching it live.
I don't think anybody did, but after the viralness.
But child, when Will slapped Chris, boy.
You know what happened, Brian? Multiverse. We didn't see it, but we was in another verse when it happened.
So that was variants.
When he was laughing, then they had flipped us to a different universe, and that's when the Mad Smith was like, no, you're not going to talk about my wife like that and make jokes about her disease.
The other funny tweet I saw, somebody had posted the clip, and I had forgot that he was even a guest star on The Fresh Prince. But do you remember when Chris Rock came on The Fresh Prince and was dressed as a woman and was there to date Will? He plays somebody's niece on the show, like somebody that Uncle Phil.
Somebody got this on YouTube.
And he came on the show, and somebody put on there on Twitter that Will's still mad about this. He come in there.
What's the name of that show?
Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Speaking of that, can you give us just a quick, if you've been watching it, what they was doing?
I'm a couple episodes behind.
Oh, okay.
But obviously Will's friend had come out. They had a big falling out because Will basically, even though the guy that this the whole start of the deal was this guy and Will getting into a fight, just like on the regular TV show.
Right. But told us about that, but what happened since then? You remember you were saying that the one
Carlton is bad on the drugs.
Okay.
And he kind of uses them as like a coping deal. Like, you know, when things get stressful, he goes to the drug, you know, like a normal situation would. But he and Will seem to have come to a better understanding with each other. Now that's, you know, it's always going to be volatile. So they could always flip on each other.
Okay.
But Will is now full on dating Lisa.
Okay.
So there's that.
The animosity in the room.
And Vivian is, she might be stepping out on old Phil.
Oh, no.
And because she's feeling very, because Phil is running for office.
Uh-huh.
And he basically had put all his eggs into this cart. And he's out all the time. He basically has kind of dismissed her getting back into her art game. Because, you know, in the show, she's a dance teacher or whatever. But on here, she's an artist.
Right.
And she kind of put that on hold to help his political career. And now she's gotten some motivation from Michael Ealy's character, who comes in here looking all suave. And
he probably ain't no good.
He being
a deviant.
I think it's coming that he's gonna be bad and he's gonna try to put a move on her. But just don't, because he just seems like he could be that type of character. But he's playing it real kind of, I'm just here for her art type of thing right now, trying to get her back into the art game.
Till so, my window of opportunity opens.
Yeah. But I think that's fixing to be some. Oh, the mama, Will's mom, came out for a visit for his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And they, her and Vivian got into it. And, you know, kind of some old history came up. And
right.
Basically, when Vivian married Phil and they moved out to California, you know, the sister had to take care of the sick mother and all this other stuff. And there was some whole history there that she was kind of bitter about. And
be interesting.
It's getting good. I like the whole drama situation of it.
That's a good. When one of the things what I saw on Will's YouTube channel was when the guy brought the concept to him, and I was like, that's a good little idea to flip it and make it a drama and not a comedy.
Did you see the clip yet of Chris Rock?
What? With him and that blonde wig looking a hot mess. Hot.
So,
hot.
Yes. Well,
somebody might say ham. Ha ha. You know what ham means, don't you? A hot A mess.
Oh, yeah. Well,
one more thing I know we don't want to run long, and you can cut it if you need to. And we can talk about, Clarence Thomas.
Oh,
you and your wife.
I thought we were going to talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno.
No, we ain't talking about Bruno. Okay. Clarence Thomas and his wife and his text messages, and he a Supreme Court judge, a hot mess. But we can revisit that another day.
Yeah, we definitely need to get back into that when we got a little more time. But yes, as always, I'm one of your hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. From the moment I wake up until I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you, Davis.
This has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.